Morning to you all. Once again, welcome all our dear visitors to Reconciliation Baptist Church. Thank you for coming to worship our great King with us today. Thank you too for our dear brothers and sisters who brought them. God bless you. Let's go to our text in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. I'm reading only verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Thus says the Lord, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Let's pray. Our great King, thank you for being born. Thank you for having left the all the splendors and glories of heaven to come down here to be despised by these worms as we are, because you loved us and you wanted us to be with you in glory. Thank you indeed. We'll forever be grateful for the cross, and the cross would not have happened if you were not born. So as we stand here ready to hear from you through your word, I pray that you use me as a vessel to proclaim this truth to us, and also open the minds of your people to understand it. In Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. You know very well that we are still going through our month of Thanksgiving. As our culture, we dedicate the whole month of December from 1st to 31st and to Thanksgiving to what the Lord has done to us throughout the year. We are still thanking Him. Yeah, today, tomorrow will be Christmas, and people are busy preparing gifts. Tuesday is called even Boxing Day. It does not mean that boxes were also given a day. No. It simply means that when people prepare these gifts to give to their loved ones, they put them in, wrap them into boxes. And especially in the Western world, they take that seriously. Here we are just trying to learn. So now, I want us to meditate briefly about the meaning of the word gift. As we continue in our mood of thanksgiving to the Lord, today we want to thank Him for a gift. A gift is something given to another person voluntarily. So follow me keenly. As we talk about a gift, the gift is the word itself. There are other words that accompany it. The verb to give and the verb to receive. They go together with the word gift And another word that accompanies it is called joy. So you see that according to the dictionary of English, a gift is something that is given to another person by someone else voluntarily, without charge. It is something gained incidentally without any effort. That's the definition of the word gift. Not the definitions that you have these days. Yeah, you've spoiled the meaning of a gift. Because these days I hear someone even come to me boldly, shamelessly, and say, Pastor Bill, during my birthday, I want you to bring me a gift of this kind. That's not a gift anymore. Because this thing is done by the giver voluntarily. Whether it's big or small, the receiver will receive it the way it is. Please stop doing that. Stop telling people, give me this and that gift. It's not, don't even call it a gift. You can continue doing that, but don't be calling that a gift. It's no longer a gift. So these days, giving out gifts is a well-established custom. Especially at certain times of the year and for particular occasions. And one of those occasions is Christmas. On this occasion, you find people busy trying to choose the right gift. Because it's a unique experience that allows people to take care and nurture a relationship. According to some people, the culture of Christmas gifts can be traced back to a tradition born in ancient Rome. In the Middle Ages, it seems that the custom of giving gifts to children was a way to ensure that even the little ones connected a moment of joy to the day of Christmas, of Christ's birth. So it began with giving gifts to children. Around this history, another figure soon appeared, named Santa Claus. Tradition says that this well-known character derives from the or came from the real existence of Saint Nicholas, who was a bishop of Myra, a city in the province of the Byzantine Empire. In Anglo-Saxon countries, Saint Nicholas was called Santa Claus. Yeah, because you know, the word Santa simply means saint, different languages, right? Yeah. Latin Santa, English saint. Yeah, so now in those countries they started calling Nicholas Santa Claus precisely in relation to the name Nicola. It is believed that Saint Nicholas used to give surprise gifts to the poor, hiding them in their shoes, the shoes they left in the front of the door. They also had a culture like ours in Uganda. You remove your shoes, you don't enter with your shoes inside the house. So Saint Nicholas could trust the poor people, goes and puts gifts inside their shoes. During Christmas period, over time, the figure of Santa Claus has become more and more canonized. Universally becoming that of a white-haired man with a long beard and dressed in a red cloak adorned with fur. Today, therefore, Christmas is a time when adults and children receive precious gifts. A moment which you have to choose the most precious, beautiful object for the most special people. So this Santa Claus or Father Christmas has become everything today. He has attracted the attention of people, even some Christians, from the Christ who was born to him. On a day like this or tomorrow, you see even some Christians take their young ones, their children, to go and see Father Christmas. And you wonder what's going on in the world. You all know that we are in Christmas season. Tomorrow people will be merry. Many are going to buy new clothes, enjoy good food and drinks, celebrating someone's birth. Whose birthday is it? That's the question we need to answer. Our sermon this morning is pointing us to one aspect of this season. Namely, the nature of a gift in the birth of Jesus Christ. How is the birth of Jesus a gift to us? When you come to our text, you realize that chapter 8 of Isaiah closes with a reference to the distress of the days of the Assyrian aggression to Israel. The last verse of chapter 8 says this: and they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. This was life in Israel. There was no joy. The place was full of gloom, thick darkness. Which darkness was Israel experiencing? In the previous chapters of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah gives us the things that brought that darkness about. In chapter 2, verse 6, superstition or mysticism was disturbing the children of Israel. In chapter 2, verse 7, Materialism was disturbing them. Again, let me go breaking this one by one. The things that together formed the thick darkness, gloom, and anguish in Israel. Superstition or mysticism was a problem in Israel. In these days also, we are seeing mysticism even in inside church. God told me in a dream. It's too much. So almost everyone is a small witch doctor somewhere. I dreamt this, let me rush to the pastor, to this, to that brother. They have a gift of interpreting dreams. This was also disturbing the children of Israel. Superstition, mysticism. And then chapter 5 of Isaiah, verses 8 and 9. Another thing that was disturbing them was materialism. Materialism. As we see the church today, it is covered by materialism. And it has even given birth to the so-called prosperity gospel, whereby they don't preach to you about the righteousness of God, about sin. They only talk to you about how you can be great in this life. Number three, idolatry. Chapter 2, verse 8. Number 4, arrogance. I'm naming the things that are brought about this dark, thick darkness in Israel. Number 5, social disintegration. Yes, exactly, brother. So because of the darkness, this darkness in Israel, religion had become a mixture of different beliefs. From Canaan, Assyria, and Egypt. Cultic prostitution was practiced. Children were sacrificed to Molech, the god of the Ammonites. Etc. Zebulun and Naphtali, two of the most northern tribes of Israel, because of these sins, they had already suffered the Assyrian onslaught. Towns and villages had been destroyed. People had been taken away from their homes. In short, there was total darkness and gloom everywhere. There was no peace. Tomorrow you're going to enjoy chicken. But let me inform you that if you don't have Christ in your life, there's total darkness and misery in your life. In your smartness tomorrow, you'll be stinking because you are dead. You cannot just have peace outside Christ. Even if you have the money, you can buy whatever you want to make yourself merry tomorrow. You are still living in gloom and misery. Chapter 9, which is our chapter today, begins with a contrast word. But other versions say nevertheless. This word comes to change the whole situation. We are on a new page.
New story and new situation. Chapter 9 verse 1 says, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. So now you see that verses 1 through 3 of chapter 9 describe that new situation to us. In them, in those days, in these verses, we are shown how the situation has totally changed. And this change is brought about great joy among the people of Israel. The same area that had such a thick darkness will ultimately be radiated by glorious light. The word light stands for all the blessings that the Messiah would bring. And we have, they give us the metaphors of that joy. The first one is the harvester's joy during the harvest. And the second is the soldier's joy when they divide the spoil after victory. That's the kind of joy that will be found in Israel. Verses 4 through 6 give us the reason for the joy of those people. And three different reasons are given to us, all of them beginning with the word "for." Because you are merry, Ugandans. You are happy. If we ask you what is making you merry, can you give us an answer, satisfactory answer? Here we have three reasons why the children of Israel were happy. All beginning with the word "for." In verse 4, for you have broken the yoke of his burden. And the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. That's the first reason why Israel was merry. Tomorrow you'll be happy. You are going to enjoy chicken and matoke. What's the reason behind that? Why are you merry? The Israelites give you their first reason why they were celebrating. Because the Lord had removed the oppressor upon them. The yoke of their burden upon them. And the staff for his shoulder, for the shoulder. They had become free, the oppressor had been chased away. This is physical Israel. This is physical Israel. You are spiritual Israel. What happened to them physically? Happened to you spiritually. The question is, has God chased the oppressor from your life? The oppressor of sin. The oppressor of fornication. Lies. Hatred. Covetousness. The covetousness that we see even within the church. The so-called pastors, big pastors. Bring love offering. Bring to the man of God. That is covetousness. They are not satisfied. They are still under oppression. If you are still in your sins, you have no reason to celebrate Christmas tomorrow. The Israelites say, we have to celebrate, for the oppressor is gone. Those of you who have been delivered from that oppressor, go on and celebrate Christmas. Second reason is found in verse 6. For every warrior's sandal will be used for burning fire. In verse 5. Do you know what that means? The soldiers of Israel have been fighting day and night, every day fighting against the oppressors. And now, the Lord has chased the oppressor from them. Now they are celebrating, saying that every warrior's sandal will now be used for burning fire, because no more fighting. The sign of the abolition of war. That's the second reason. What do you have to celebrate? And the third reason in verse 6. For unto us a child is born. And this is where you find the mystery, friends. Because the first reason, you see it throughout their life. There was an oppressor with them. He's gone. The second reason, you see, the soldiers are now, their sandals, their boots have no work anymore. Now ask yourself for this third reason. For unto us a child is born. Which child was that physically? This was a prophecy for our great Redeemer. For unto us a child is born. Yes, unto you. Dear sinner, he was born for you. And this is the reason for us to give thanksgiving unto God. Because as we matter to continue talking about gifts, you need to know, to remember, don't forget that a gift is given by someone without your consent. You need to do nothing to deserve that gift. And that gift always brings about joy in the receiver's life. These days I see some people, because we are going deep and deep into the world of selfishness, we are going deep into materialism. So you see that when you take a gift to someone, they start unwrapping them one after the other. What's this? Wow, a smartphone. From Pastor David. Oh, thank you so much. Then they come to mine in a small box written with my name there, Pastor Bill. They found there a handkerchief. You hear people say, what a gift is this? But it's a gift. It is a gift. That's what I managed to give to you from the bottom of my heart. But because people have been swallowed by materialism,
They want big things. Obviously, because they are pastors, that's why their pastors preach to them every Sunday. Child of God, don't be happy with small things. You are a child of God. That's the lie. Just lust and covetousness. What about God who tells us in scripture that we need to be thankful for all things? What a gift is this? A handkerchief. But even if you did whatever you could to try to please the one you love with a good gift, even if you tried hard, you'll never give your all. Because no human being has ever done so. Whenever our president visits people anywhere, we already know the gift he gives. It's an envelope having 10 million shillings in there. Not more, not less. Yeah, that's a gift from the president to you. To these clergy people, the sheikhs, he gives them even with a capiata, a brand new car. But let me ask you, is that all Museveni has? What is 10 million to our president? It is nothing. He can even walk in this room now and decides to bless each of you with an envelope of 10 million. Who among you has ever given their best for their friends? Now this one gave me too much, a car. What's the car? But God gave us a gift. We did not ask for it. He gave us a gift. We did not deserve it. Because we human beings, when someone disobeys you, you want to show them that you are not anybody. You want to revenge. You want to see in them die, suffer. But we had already rebelled against God. And what we deserved and what our minds were waiting for was his wrath. Anything bad from him. But he gave us the opposite. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave. There is giving and receiving in any gift. God the Father was ready to give a gift to mankind. And because he loved the world, he went and took his very best. His only begotten Son. That gift is far compared to the gift you give to people. You might move tomorrow onto the streets of Kampala giving to the poor. That will not be your best. God the Father gave his very best. He did not have two. He had one begotten Son. And he gave him for us. Question to you.
How did you respond when God gave you that son? His very best. How did you respond? Did you also look at him and say, "What? Which gift is this?" Yes! Some of you have accepted and received that gift with thanksgiving. But many of you are still looking at that gift and despise it. Up to now. You are like Esau. Remember the other sermon. Says, what am I going to benefit from my birthright? When I'm dying every day with hunger and lack. Take it and give me the source. Don't you say the same? But Pastor Bill, you always come to us, you all come to Christ, but joblessness, poverty, lack is killing me. Dawdy. This is a gift. Whenever someone is packing the gift, because I don't believe you can give a gift to your enemy. No human being has ever done so. Only God did so. Only God. But the rest of us, we give gifts to our friends. And when you are preparing this gift to take to your friend, someone you love, that thing is coming from the bottom of your heart. Even if it's a handkerchief, trust me. Now for you, the receiver, to start talking all sorts of words against this handkerchief, I don't know how I can term that. Rather than receiving it with thanksgiving, you are like, I wish he could give me this and that and that. The spirit of materialism. The choice in a gift is not yours, Mr. Receiver. It's the giver who chooses what they want to give to you. Now, God chose His very best to give for you. And my question is, how did you receive it? The way you received the handkerchief from Pastor Bill. Where am I going to go with Jesus alone? If you are here and you are not yet born again, you are still despising the gift of God. And that will not be easy for you in the life to come. Oh, Museveni gave us a lot of money, 10 million. What is 10 million to Yoweri Kaguta Museveni? Nothing. But God gave His only begotten Son. So that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Should we celebrate Christmas? That's a question that many people always ask us. And our answers, RBCs, always yes and no. I know many churches in the world that do not celebrate Christmas. And the majority do. Yeah, I told this to you. I want to remind them to you again. Those who do not celebrate Christmas like tomorrow's day, their assumption is that there's no Jesus Christ who was born on the 25th of December. Which is true. Another assumption, argument is that 25th December was a pagan day even before. Therefore, we don't need to indulge in it. Those who celebrate say, yes, it's true what you've said, but at least we need to celebrate so that the world knows that there's someone who was born at a certain point. I think both camps are right, right? What is our position here? They've already told you here that tomorrow there's no service here, right? Because we don't see any reason for that. We are celebrating Christmas even now, yesterday, tomorrow, and the other day. We don't see any reason why. If it falls on Sunday, we continue our normal worship service. But again, even if Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th, let people celebrate. Let Muslims and pagans and Hindus ask them, why are you celebrating? And let them tell them the reason why they are celebrating. In other words, here we don't condemn those who celebrate Christmas. We don't say they are doing wrong, even those who will have masses tomorrow. So long as you celebrate it in the godly way, biblically. Unfortunately, even churches have been swept by the world. And you see them celebrate Christmas like the world. That's what we say no to in this church. If you want to use this season, this period, to let people know about who this, the one who was born, that's okay. But if I ask you a question, how are you going to let people know about the birth of Christ, the one who was born on Christmas? In which way? You don't have an answer. What you know is matoke and chicken and that new dress. You'll do nothing whatsoever. Nothing. When they ask you to come to their big churches and stadiums, it's to want what is deep under your pocket. God gave a gift of Christ to you. What are you giving to Him in this Christmas season? God has kept you 12 months of the year. Give your big offering here. Just theft. Stealing from Ugandans. And we who warned them about those thieves, they were the ones they call names. How do you need to celebrate Christmas genuinely? One, by sitting down and flash back into your life, have you received the gift of God to mankind, to humanity? Jesus Christ, have you? If you've not, forget about matoke and chicken. Cry to Him to save your life. Let Him be born in your life this Christmas period. Much as it was a pagan day, what's wrong if someone is remembering his true Christ truly So if you wanted to go to a church tomorrow, don't say that Pastor Bill said you should not, like I have not told you so. You can just go. It's okay for the world to know that there's a king who was born. But use that time to explain to them, to preach the gospel to them. Which darkness was in Israel? It was the darkness of wars, literal wars. But the darkness that is in you is your sinful lifestyle. And I pity so much Africans. We are the ones who just go and copy everything from the West and bring into the dustbin of Africa, thinking that what our brethren whites do is okay, that is good. It's a problem. We no longer venerate the places of worship of God. We want to come before Him the way we want. Some preachers, Africans, have also started coming to preach in shorts and capes. That's not part of our culture. It's not. Because you see on the TV, your favorite preacher was preaching in a short and with a cape. You want to come for worship, Bible study, prayer meetings in a short? Not in Africa! Do it in Europe, in America, not here! Because what you cannot do to your father, why do you do it to God? In Africa, and these are good cultures, good customs. Yes, I don't see. I'm not telling you that it is already, you're already sinning, so you go to hell. No. But why don't we keep our norms vis-a-vis our God? Not every clothes you need to bring to before the worship of God. And you see them now preaching with their hands in the pockets now. Because they have money. This Jesus has given them money. In Africa here, this is a very bad sign. It is. Well, we need to be informing even our brothers who are preachers from America and Europe. Here in Africa, this is a very bad sign. Because you cannot stand before President Yoweri Museveni or Kabaka, the King of Uganda, with your two hands in the pocket. You can't do that. And you see them, from the beginning of the sermon up to the end, the hand in the pocket. They come in shorts on the pulpit with capes, with sleeveless shirts. No! We need to obey God. Don't copy anything. This is Africa, it's not a dustbin. It's not! It's not. Darkness in your life, but He's ready to bring light. God is ready to put light in your life. The same situation Israel is going through is what you are going through spiritually. To those of you who are already born again, you have all the reasons to enjoy Christmas. Go and be merry, because unto you the child was born. Don't think because the people call you born again Christian, you are one. Don't think because you come to RBC every Sunday, you are one. Don't even think because you preach good sermons, you are one. Check your life. In Luke chapter 2, it's the same story that we find of the gift. It's just Luke chapter 2. The angel appears to the shepherds. When he comes to them, they fear. They tremble. But the angel tells them these words. And the angel says to them, fear not. For behold, look, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Good news. Which good news is that? Verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the of David the Savior. For you. God has given a gift to you. You have up to now refused to receive it. Why? Because you despise it. You are seeking meaningless gifts. You want a gift of this that's to be going all over the world. Building houses and building cars, that is rubbish. You are despising the best gift ever. The gospel is the good news about the gift of God. Like the Israelites, we were all living in thick darkness of our sins. I remember my past life. Those who have been truly redeemed also remember when we used to sin, and after that you boast over sin. We are living in thick darkness, in anguish. You are being slapped by sin every day. You don't have peace. Even if you sleep in your own house, you don't have peace. But when God changed our situation, the way He changed the system in Israel, we are also full of extreme joy. And the biggest reason for our joy is the fact that for us, a child is born. And to us, a son has been given. And I like the way He describes it. It's not any kind of son. Because the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the morning, we were taught here that Jesus Christ was God from the womb. This prophecy came about 700 years before He was born. Those who say that Jesus Christ became God at baptism, shame on them. That Son, a gift of God the Father to us, is wonderful. You just can't think about Him and you fail to blow your mind. Incomprehensible. You never understand Him. That's why when we are talking about the things of Christ and I make it, I keep quiet immediately because it's a mystery. But Paul says, it is this Christ that I want to know more. I want to know Him more with the power of His resurrection. What are you waiting for? Shame on you if you also go to visit Father Christmas. He's not any father to anyone. God already gave us an everlasting Father. And here it does not mean that this was God the Father. No! The Hebrews use this word Because a father was just someone who rules, so someone who had authority. And that's, he is our everlasting Father, because he is the one who's been given the to rule over everything for God. And he will do that forever and ever. He is our everlasting Father, our everlasting ruler. If he does not rule in your life, pray that he comes and rules your life from today. Otherwise, if you don't have Christ, you have even nothing to think to thank for the this year 2023. Don't thank, don't waste your time. I told the Zambians last Sunday the same words, don't waste your time. That I'm thanking God, he blessed my wife, he gave my children school fees, he gave us rent throughout the year, he did, and this and this. If you're not in Christ, don't thank God, keep quiet. Because himself says in Amos chapter 5, 21, I don't want to hear your thanksgiving. Keep with you your offerings are full of sin. When you take it to those pastors, you are just enriching them. It's up to you. They'll become rich and remain poor. But if you are outside Christ, you have nothing to think about, to thank about. And the way you take your thanksgiving offering, it's again tainted with sin. Because you want to give to this pastor the biggest, the fattest thanksgiving gift, so that next year God will do well with you. That's what they tell you. The bigger your gift is, the more God is going to deal with you. That's a lie. That's a lie. They even don't touch on your sins. They cannot tell you that if you're a sinner, God does not need your offering. And your songs and prayers are noise to him, Amos says. The redeemed of Christ here, go ahead thanking God for whatever he did for you in 2023. Go ahead being merry for Christmas. Even if it's 25th December, don't care. Show people that someone was born for you. You who are not in Christ, don't thank. Don't be merry because I have nothing to be merry about. You are dying. Even tomorrow, chicken will be delicious in your mouth, but you are dying. Ask him to forgive your sins. Yeah, this is a reason why we, on the 31st, will be here thanking God for this precious gift of Jesus Christ. You have a long list of the things God has done for you. You don't even look at you being a born again Christian throughout 2023. It's not something easy. It's not. His grace has sustained us. We still trust and believe in him as our Lord and Savior. Throughout the year, we have not compromised in any way as a church. These are the areas to thank God for, not just a house and food, and not only for your job. Thank first for the spiritual blessings. After that, yes, you can thank him also for the physical, financial blessings, because they all come from him. Give your life to Christ today. Don't just say, I'm already born again. Because Because your lifestyle tells even you yourself that you are not yet. Look at the fornication you go through. Adultery. You maybe leave your wife, you leave your husband, go and fornicate with others. Go back and look at the sins. I mean, the lies you walk in day and night. Why do you walk naked on the streets if you are already born again? Especially our sisters. Or should you allow Muslims to be dressing decently more than you? Go back and look at your lifestyle. And you born again. If you the day you feel a sense of satisfaction, you're in trouble. I'm okay. No one is okay. Paul, who said these words in Philippians, was a born again Christian like you. But he felt the need of knowing more about this precious gift, so that we continue growing in our faith in him. May the Lord be with you as you go to celebrate Christmas tomorrow. Always remember these words. When you are enjoying food with your neighbors, we will. Who told you that you are going to fast tomorrow? We won't fast. We will eat food. But we have a reason why we celebrate. If I'm eating my chicken, I know, yes, he was born for me and he died for me. He saved me by grace. I don't deserve it. And if you are not in Christ, why do you celebrate with us? What's the reason behind that? May the Lord have mercy on you in this season. Don't just go up and down and some even break their legs, people even die. Oh, New Year! Oh, Christmas! Be home! Be home! If you want to join us on the 31st, we'll be here. Come and let us thank Him together! We don't need your money. Leave your money home. Come with your mouth and Bible. And your heart. Just we thank Him together. We pray for next year together. Midnight, after midnight, we go and rest. It's not an overnight to make you suffer. No. Father, we thank you for these words. Whatever I might have said well, receive glory alone. Whatever I might have said wrongly, forgive me. But what we pray is that you help us know, help us open our eyes to see the gift that you gave to humanity. Jesus Christ is there. Some have already received this gift, but to others, the gift is still wrapped in a box. They don't even want to open it up because they are looking for other fake gifts of life, of prosperity, of being known by everyone. May you help them also come to Christ in faith. They will enjoy His beauty, His preciousness. Lord, as we continue in our month of thanksgiving, there's nothing we'll thank you that will be above the gift you gave to us of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are whatever we are because of Him. And some of us are even ready to give our lives for Him. He loved us with His life. We also want to love Him with ours. Lord, this should be a period of tears to those who are not in you. I don't see any reason they need to celebrate in their sins. Break their stony hearts. Even those who know you already, let them look back to your love. When you gave your only Son to die for our sins, and be surprised, be amazed. When your Son Himself did not consider the glories and splendors of heaven as something to grasp, He did not even consider being equal with you, the Father, as something big to him. But because of love, he came down to be despised by those he created with his hands. Thank you. This is more than enough reason to say thank you to you. Be with us, with all the people as they go on celebrating this, remembering this day. And let those who don't know you through this season. In Christ Jesus our Lord we pray. Amen.